Good morning and welcome to Sunday Morning, a news and public affairs programming service of Cox Media Group. I'm your host, Mimi Lawson, and I've got a special guest with me this morning, Robert Garland. Are you the head of McKim and Creed?
I'm actually the vice president of McKim and Creed. I am over the Southeast operations. I manage the Southeast operations for McKim and Creed, and for the city of Sarasota, I'm the project manager for the Lift Station 87 project.
Well, let's talk about what is this Lift Station 87 project? What is that about?
Yeah, I think most people in this area have heard about it. Lift Station 7 is a lift station that handles about a third of the sewage for the city of Sarasota, and it pumps that sewage to their water reclamation facility for treatment and reuse. The facility is about 30 years old and is at the end of its useful life. And because of that, it's had a history of mechanical failures that have caused some overflows into the Hudson Bayou, which is an environmentally sensitive water body in Sarasota County, and has just been had some nuisance odors and other complaints with the neighborhood.
So that's why you say most people have heard about it.
Yeah. It's been a hot topic, especially in the Sarasota County area.
Yeah, we've got those similar problems in St. Petersburg as well.
Yes, it's a problem across the nation. You know, there's a report that was done by the American Society of Civil Engineers last year that's talking about the billions of dollars of infrastructure that needs to be redone. You know, most of these facilities were built back in the 80s and 90s when EPA had a wave of federally funded programs. And, you know, this is, 40 years later, so, you know, or 20 years later. So it's time for some upgrades across not only Florida, but across the nation.
Actually, Robert, I heard it's worse than that. The infrastructure all over the country is really disintegrating because a lot of these bridges, for example, were built right after the Second World War. So these are even longer projects that need to be worked on, too.
Yeah, correct. I'm more of a water wastewater person, but you're correct. The bridges and roadways are probably in worse condition. Need just as much attention as the water and wastewater systems. Unfortunately, on the water and wastewater systems, most of your infrastructure is underground.
Right.
And you don't realize there's an issue until it occurs, unless you have a very proactive preventive maintenance program, which a lot of our communities are going that direction as well.
We got a chance to talk to Maria Lowe before she left. She's the mayor of St. Petersburg or St. Pete Beach, and she was saying when they started to do this infrastructure work there that they were digging these pipes up and literally finding that the only thing that water was going through were holes in the ground because these are old pottery kind of
clay. Yeah, but a lot of your old pipes are clay pipes that become brittle, not only from the age of the material, but through vibrations of traffic and other things above ground, and also a lot of your water mains were made through with asbestos cement pipe. The asbestos was used to strengthen the pipe itself, and over years that becomes brittle as well. So you're correct, and then what the other was cast iron, of course. Iron eventually corrodes, and steel corrodes. So if it's in the ground long enough, and you're in a corrosive environment with high groundwater, which is what we have in Florida, we have salt water and high levels of it. At least a deterioration.
And one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you this morning is when I got this press release talking about this, I have never heard of this thing that you're using under Hudson Bayou, which is called micro tunneling. What's the difference? You say they're all underground anyway. Is this a new thing?
Well, when the city made the decision, and rightly so, to replace Lift Station 7 with a new facility, and the new facility will be Lift Station 87, they went through an extensive evaluation of where to place the new facility. The site where Lift Station 7 is currently located is too constrained to put a new facility on that site or even to upgrade the existing facility. So they need to put this at a different location, and they found a city park about a mile away that was suitable for this new lift station. But to get the wastewater to transfer from the current Lift Station 7 site to the new Lift Station 87 site, they had to find a way to have it gravity flow. So, you know, water flows downhill.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to find a way to gravity flow the wastewater from Lift Station 7 to Lift Station 87. The caveat or the challenge in this instance where the Hudson Bayou is located right between the two sites. So we have to go under the bayou and at a depth of about 8 feet below the bayou, which created some challenges. and you can't really open cut that area. You're going underneath a historic bridge
right.
that was constructed back in the early 1900s. It's too high to put the pipes on the bridge. You can't open cut because of the environmental issues on either side of the bridge. So the only choice in this case was to go under the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And for gravity flow, microtunneling was the only option.
And microtunneling, how is that different than what we've been used to seeing? It's still tunneling.
Well, on microtunneling, what we're doing is we have a shaft located on each side of the bridge, and each shaft is 30 to 35 feet. And these shafts are good size. I'm talking, 18 feet by about 30 feet in diameter or in width. And what we'll do is we drop this microtunneling machine down into one pit, which is upstream of the bridge. And then we will tunnel to the next shaft, which is on the downstream side of the bridge. And we will slowly tunnel through the rock formation. The head of the machine will cut the rock, chew it up, if you will, return it back to the pit where it's then removed and trucked off for disposal. And this is a slow process. We can probably get around 20 to 40 feet per day as we progress the tunnel, the face of the tunnel under the bayou and back to the receiving shaft at the other end of the operation.
20 to 40 feet a day, that's a lot slower than usual?
Yeah, it's slower because, once again, you're underground. Mm-hmm. You're essentially, for better of another term, you're chewing through rock,
right.
if you will. Once again, we're going under a historic bridge. It's under a environmentally sensitive waterway, the Hudson Bayou. So we want to do it very methodically and carefully so that we don't cross-contaminate the bayou. When you're doing this operation, you have to lubricate the microtunnel machine with a slurry mixture to help reduce the friction so it will cut through the rock. And that lubricant is then returned back to the shaft, and you can recycle it or dispose of it. If you go too fast and you create any type of fissures or fractures in the subsurface, there's a potential it can escape to the surface. Just like water, the slurry will try to find the path of least resistance.
Right.
So what we want to do is monitor that carefully so we don't create any exit points for the slurry to escape back to the surface, which would then potentially impact the Hudson Bayou. So we did with the city. We worked with the city to do extensive geotechnical tests as part of the design of this process, to make sure that we could develop a solution that would overcome not only the engineering but the environmental challenges.
And you say, as the tunnel's being created, they're putting a 60-inch diameter protective steel casing in its place. Is that basically the pipe?
Right. Well, it's a protective covering. We're putting a steel casing. It's about, as you said, it's about 60 inches in diameter. And as the microtunneling machine advances, what we do is we install the casing behind it. So as you're advancing the tunnel, the casing gets slid behind it, if you will, and connected, interlocked together. When the 60-inch casing is complete, then within that casing, we will install a 36-inch diameter or 3-foot a PVC pipe that will actually carry the wastewater. And the reason we did this, one, is when you're microtunneling through rock at this depth, the steel casing is more forgiving. It's not fragile. I mean, you can do this with concrete casing or concrete pipe. You could do it with a clay pipe. But because we're going through rock, we wanted something that had, the tensile strength to resist breaking or cracking as we're advancing the casings. So we're putting the steel casing in first that will form, if you will, the walls of the tunnel. Then inside that casing, we'll have the actual pipe that carries the wastewater. Not only does this help us during the construction of the project, but also if for some reason there was a failure of the pipe itself, it's contained within that casing, and we can easily replace it.
Perfect sense. That's a great idea. So you say that this contracting work is from 7 to 7 Monday through Friday and then 9 a.m. to 7 on Saturdays. Are surrounding neighborhoods going to feel the vibration of this, or what is going to be the effect on the neighborhoods?
Well, we're through the worst.
Okay, good.
To get these shafts on each side of the bayou, we had to drill through solid rock. to a depth of about 35, 40 feet, and then excavate that rock out. And then we had to use a pile driver, similar to what the sounds you heard in downtown St. Pete.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when they were doing the buildings downtown.
Forever.
Not long ago. So as we're doing the shafts, there was, you know, we did have some disruption to some noise impacts. The city, you know, they're very committed to minimizing disruption to the residents. So we've been having a series of public outreach and community outreach meetings for about 3 years, preparing the citizens and the businesses and the residences for this operation. And we actually have a project manager on site that talks and discusses issues with the residents and businesses on a daily basis. And before we do something that's going to cause traffic impacts of the traffic patterns or maybe elevated noise levels, we give a forewarning, once again, about 7 days in advance. So we're working very closely with the residents, and they've been very, very understanding. They realize the importance of this project, and believe me, we're just as anxious to get it done as they are.
I'll bet you are. Let me ask you something. With all the things that we've seen happen in St. Petersburg, for example, but St. Pete isn't the only city. They've just taken a lot of grief over it. Is this wastewater issue an issue all over the country?
Yes, it's not isolated. It's not isolated to Florida. It's you know, there are releases across the country. You can see stories. I mean, I saw not too long ago where I think it was the city hall in L.A. got flooded by a water line that broke. You've got issues on H pipes everywhere. I think in Florida it's elevated because we have water surrounding us.
Right.
It's, you know, that we have a very fragile ecosystem that's part of our industry, our tourism industry. So I think it's elevated in Florida, as well as it should be, but it's not unique to Florida.
Well, I guess that's somehow good news, but what is the local areas? I mean, obviously what Sarasota is doing to up the ante for things not to be as bad as they were in St. Petersburg, is this about what municipalities are going to need to do now, is to take all that money and start spending it through, you know, for the infrastructure and stop fooling around with this anymore?
Most of the cities throughout Florida are looking at their water and wastewater systems, and they're taking a proactive approach to not only maintaining their existing infrastructure, but rehabilitating, upgrading, or replacing as needed. You know, St. Pete, as all other cities, have a very aggressive capital improvements program to do just that.
Right.
Money is an issue at times. In Florida, there are several resources where cities can reach out and get money through the state revolving fund, for instance, that's issued by the or regulated by the FDEP. They can go out for bond issues. So there's a balance between what can you do with the resources you have available, and that's the balance you have to walk.
Penny for Pinellas was supposed to work on a lot of the infrastructure. Instead, it had been redirected to some more glitzier projects in St. Petersburg, and now I know a lot of citizens are unhappy about that. As citizens, how can we make sure that the money that we vote in, whether it be Penny for Pinellas or other levies, be actually used for the things that cities are telling us they're going to be used for?
I'm not sure the details of that program, but I think that, you know, one thing as residents, we don't see a problem until there's a problem. When we
sure.
turn on our faucets and the water doesn't come out,
right?
Or we see a wastewater potentially coming out of a manhole or some other issues, that's when we see a problem. But it's a continuing problem, and we need to continue to support the cities, their staffs, and help them lobby for the money at the city council meetings, at the commission meetings. You know, they're there to help the citizens and the residents. And a lot of times, as you know, I'm very active in the American Public Works Association, and it's kind of like the workers and the staff of the cities are kind of like the unforgotten heroes.
They really are.
Until there's an accident or
right.
something goes on. And I think that we need to let them know that we support the you know, the public works staffs, and we're behind them, and be more vocal about it.
I agree with you. I think that people are starting to finally realize that it's better to have water that is clean as opposed to some pretty building downtown, and that they're really
right. There's obviously a balance, but without clean water and wastewater disposal, you can't have the pretty buildings downtown.
Right.
There'll be a moratorium on growth.
Right.
You know, if you believe in growth or not, you have to definitely believe in, you know, maintain your infrastructure so you can at least maintain your current buildings and your residences and downtown. But also, if you are going to grow, You must have infrastructure that's going to be flexible, reliable, and expandable.
When do we expect this project to be completed from Lift 7 to Lift Station 87?
The microtunnel, this project is a three-phase project, and the first phase is to put this microtunnel line in between Lift Station 7 and the new Lift Station 87 mm-hmm. site. And that is scheduled to be done in June or July of 2017.
This year.
Once that pipe is installed, and then we're going, at that point, start constructing the Lift Station 87 pump station facility itself. And then once that facility is constructed, then we can start diverting some of the flow, about a third of the flow that goes Lift Station 7, to the new facility, so we can start pumping it to the wastewater treatment plant. Then we'll do the third phase, which is then to decommission the existing Lift Station 7 site. We can't do it all at once because you got to have the pipe in place before you can
right.
transfer the wastewater. You have to have the pumps in place before that you can do that. Take the old facility offline.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a very thought out construction sequencing plan to make sure that we do this once again in an environmentally safe and reliable manner.
Well, you just said something that made me think about St. Petersburg again. I know that one of the problems that we had with this recent dump into the bay was that we had taken one of those stations offline, and you just talked about taking old Station 7 offline. There's no good reason to leave it there in case you would need it for extra overflow?
No. It's at the end of its useful life.
I see.
The decision had to be made to upgrade it or replace it in this specific instance, the best option was to replace it. The new lift station will have backup capabilities, so that if pumps go down, we have backup pumps. If the power goes out, we have backup generators. And the new lift station 7 or 87 facility, the city did something else which I really applaud them on, is they upgraded it to exceed what the FDEP would require. FDEP just requires you to build these facilities to meet, to withstand a 100-year floodplain
mm-hmm.
or the floodplain of a 100-year storm.
Right.
And as you know, yesterday's 100-year storm is today's 10-year storm.
Exactly.
More storms and worse weather.
Right.
In this case, the city did a vulnerability analysis of their whole system and decided to protect the critical infrastructure on this facility to withstand a Category 3 hurricane.
Hmm.
So that not only on the storm surge, which is elevation 26, but also the winds, so that if a Category 3 storm came through and devastated the community, this lift station would be able to operate and afford the community the potential to rebuild at that time. So I applaud the city commission and the utility staff for looking forward. This is something the people up in the Northeast and Sandy Hook wish they'd done 20
right.
years ago.
Exactly. I applaud the city of Sarasota for that as well. It just seems like it would make sense. It's nice to see somebody. I see this a lot in Sarasota. They use common sense. It's amazing.
Right.
I love it.
Well, and believe me, it costs a little bit more, but it's an investment now to minimize expenditure later. To me, it's a solid investment and a good return on their investment.
I agree with you. It's been great talking to you this morning, and it's very interesting of what the city of Sarasota has done and also what Kim and Creed is a part of.
No, we appreciate it. And once again, I'd like to thank and give our appreciation out to the residents who have been very patient with us. We'll all get to see the end of the no pun intended, we'll see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
It's a good thing.
End of the microtunnel.
Right. Yeah, the microtunnel.
Right.
Correct.
Robert Garland has been our guest this morning. He's from Kim and Creed. They're the ones that are doing the microtunneling in Sarasota. Thanks for joining us. And when we get this all done, we should have like a big ribbon cutting.
No, we look forward to it, and the pleasure's been mine.